Hello and welcome behind the marquee, the podcast where we talk about what's going on inside and outside the Michigan and State Theater and in our art and in our art house community. My name is Nick Aldrink. I'm the programming and media coordinator for the Michigan and State Theater, and I am joined by three guests who also work for the Michigan and State Theater. Please introduce yourselves.
Hi, my name is Finn Pudler. I'm the communications coordinator for the Michigan Theater Foundation.
Hello, Finn. Hi, I am Sarah Escalante, and I am the Cinetopia Festival director and kind of helping lead the charge with programming and communications now at the Michigan Theater Foundation.
I am Jared Van Eck. I'm the technical director of the Michigan Theater Foundation, and I assist you three with programming and creativity during these COVID times.
Welcome back, Jared, and welcome Sarah and Finn, your first time on the podcast.
So excited.
We are, of course, recording this virtually. We are still social distancing at the Michigan and State Theater, all working from home. It's really great. This is our first roundtable. We've had a couple podcast episodes since we've been in quarantine, but this is our first roundtable episode. So I'm very excited to see a bunch of faces to talk about some of the movies that we're playing right now.
I kind of feel like we're bringing back our Saturday night watch parties.
Yeah.
In a way where people can't actually look at us anymore.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If for those of that didn't watch the Saturday night watch parties, this is pretty much the gang that we had. Finn was always in the comments section, but
the lurker.
Finn, before we can cut this part out if we want, but Finn, I feel like you might need to explain to people what your accent is. I will just say you have a mix of accents that I feel like we need to get this out of the way right now, because I feel like when you're talking, it might distract people wondering what is his accent.
That's a good question. Okay, so I'm from Scotland originally, but I grew up in England, and my dad's from California. So my accent is kind of, it's mostly south of England with a bit of Scotland and a bit of America thrown in. I've been here for a few years, so you'd think I'd be able to speak like an American, but not so far.
Fair enough. Thank you. Thank you for that explanation.
I feel like it's added a bunch of class to Cinetopia and now Michigan Theater correspondence.
I agree.
It's been great.
Everything I say sounds fancy.
And it's definitely brought a class to the State Theater, social media as well. So the reason that we have gathered here on Zoom is to talk about some of the things. I mean, we're a little over 4 months into quarantine, yeah. 4 months of our virtual movie palace. And that's crazy to think about, because I remember when we first started this, we've been adding movies every week. And when we first started quarantine, the question is, there really wasn't a question of how do we show movies. It really was just, it just seemed like we're not going to be able to show movies at all anymore. And then all of a sudden, you know, a week into quarantine, distributors like Magnolia and Oscilloscope, they were like, and Kino, they're just like, we have movies and we can show you and we're going to do it like this. And then it just became this entirely new landscape that we didn't know existed, that we didn't know we could do, and that has opened up these wide possibilities for us. And now every week we're adding three or four movies, sometimes more than that, that you can watch from home. And now we've got this library, this catalog of things that people can, if you go to michtheater.org/screenings, you can check it out. And like now it's kind of our job to go back and like talk about, you know, every week we don't quite have the marketing capabilities to put everything out in front of people. So we're kind of like going back right now and just reminding people of some of the really great films that you can watch. Let's just start out talking about that. What are some of, I have my personal choices. What are some of your favorite films that we're playing right now that people can check out? What are the highlights of our virtual movie palace?
I like the highlighted black filmmakers that you guys put together.
Yeah.
I think that, like, especially when, like, Nick and Sarah and I, we went out protesting for the Black Lives Matter movement, and I just feel like the when we made that change on our website, I thought that was really awesome.
Mm-hmm. I was really grateful for Magnolia that let us, you know, we were able to offer I Am Not Your Negro, Toni Morrison, The Pieces I Am, and Whose Streets. Yeah. And then it wasn't just that people could rent them, you could buy them, which I thought was just really terrific for them to offer.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, and we actually had a really good turnout.
Mm-hmm.
All of our, we've closed that offering right now. And are getting our reporting back from Magnolia. And then with Nick's taking the lead on this, we set up doing a kind of donation part from the theater and the revenue we earned from those sales to our local ACLU chapter, which is exciting. And it's like really great that we'll be able to kind of give back to our community and folks hitting the streets out there with us right now. So super excited about that. I definitely think to your point earlier, like, when this all started, it was such a trickle. It's like kind of watching when, you know, that leak in your roof opens up where it's like a trickle and then suddenly it's just a downpour. And like, it's nice to at least now be in a position where we can actually go and kind of curate what we want to play. And feel like we get a little bit more of control like that than when it did when we first started, which it was like, oh my gosh, we want to have something to put in front of people. So, it's helping me at least right now.
Yeah, I was just like Saint Francis, done, and then it was,
which is a great movie, and you should see it. Yeah, but it was still like a, my God, what can we play?
Yeah, and like also to the point, like John Lewis, Good Trouble. Unfortunately, we lost John Lewis right now, and the film means so much more than it did. I think we released it about a month ago now.
Yeah,
that's a really great documentary. Is that there have been a few that. It's really, I'm glad that we're able to show it, but I would have loved to watch John Lewis' Good Trouble with an audience. That was definitely a film that we were planning on playing regardless. We would have played it at the Michigan. It's just a really great film about his lifelong fight for equal rights and really important documentary that I'm glad that people can still watch in our movie palace.
Yeah, it's been really weird with there have been a nice chunk of films coming out that were slated for Cinetopia this year. That obviously we're not having Cinetopia in person, and so that in itself is a frustration, but it's kind of nice to still see some of these titles come out, although it is weird because part of Cinetopia is being able to gather together and really focus on having those conversations with the community and filmmakers about those films. And like, we do try to curate films for the festival that aren't necessarily the ones you're going to see come through the theaters normally.
Right.
So it's like exciting to be able to play a lot of them right now, but it's also this weird thing because we're missing on that communication element that's just so great. But it's also, I'm like happy that these filmmakers are getting their films in front of everyone, which one of the titles that is definitely remaining one of my favorites, and I think we've been playing it for almost 2 months now, is the Diana Kennedy documentary. I've always liked cooking and baking, and on the side I actually get to review cookbooks, which is something I love and struggle to be able to keep time for, but I do. And so she's always been somebody that I've paid a lot of attention to, just with her almost like very stern opinions about what you should eat and how you should care about getting local and really true ingredients directly from the source. Like, that's something that I've always taken to heart, and I love how very focused and very willing she was to just kind of scold you for not thinking about that. And she also was the person who encouraged me from really early on to always have a notebook with me when I'm just like reading through recipes or actually in the kitchen and trying out stuff, because it's so easy to do something and then be like, holy crap, what was that I did again? Or like, I never want to do that ever again. So bad. So like, her film is definitely, I had it on the list for Cinetopia. She's in a strong personality. She also, the documentary is just like a really nice way of seeing kind of this footage of Mexico back mm-hmm. in the day and the like the farmers markets and just the landscape, which I think was really cool. So definitely one that it would be worth Googling her recipe for guacamole and the proper way to make it, and then have that and watch it. It's a really great film.
Yeah, I had that film in my notes as well. It gives you so much inspiration to cook. To me, it's the perfect. It's one of like the most perfect quarantine movies because, like, what else are you gonna do? You're gonna watch it on Friday night, and then what are you gonna do on Saturday? You're probably gonna stay in and cook. Yeah. And then this, that just might as well have a really great recipe for guacamole while you're stuck inside.
I also had this like really crazy Kevin Bacon but Diana Kennedy moment watching it. So I was at a film festival in California last October, and the festival had gotten a grant to hire this professional photographer to come in and take headshots of kind of all of the filmmakers and talent coming into the festival. And then they opened it up for staff, and I was there in a staff position. And I realized in watching the Diana Kennedy documentary that the man they have taking her pictures at that one section is the same man who was this photographer, Roman Chow. And I was like, oh my God, he took my picture too. Like the same man who took her picture took my picture. So, totally silly, but I was just like this, like I never got to see her speak in person. And that was something I always regretted. So it was just, yeah, it was like this mm-hmm. strange.
I also really like that movie because she reminds me of my grandma, my German grandma, my Oma, as I call her. Some of her sternness and her what you call it, but I love it when she's talking to her class. I think it's when she's talking to her class, or maybe it's when she's going, I can't remember. It's been a bit since I've seen it, but I think it might be when she's describing how to make the perfect guacamole. And then she says something about cilantro, and she says something like, and if your guests don't like cilantro, don't invite them.
Yeah. I remember that. That was so funny.
Yeah. Finn, how about you? What are some of your favorite movies that we have right now?
All right. Well, I haven't been working for the Michigan as long as you all have, so I missed the first bunch of them. But the one I wanted to talk about was one we played last year at Cinetopia, which I was also marketing for. And it's Kinshasa Makambo, a documentary. Something about the visceral nature of the... You're really on the streets, like, with these people. And I think that's something that you can kind of... It kind of mirrors what's happening right now. With social media, you can just kind of watch all this stuff happening in Portland or, you know, across the country. And I something about the sort of up close and kind of really, it feels very real while you're watching. Obviously it was, right? I mean, it's a documentary, but that was something that it kind of makes your heart beat faster watching it. And I'm glad that we're able to bring back some movies that we've played at Cinetopia. That people may not have seen. I think that's really a very cool thing about the Virtual Movie Palace.
Yeah, I was really excited to bring back Kinshasa Makambo again, because I think when it played at Cinetopia last year, I think we only did maybe two screenings of it, something like that. And it didn't quite. I mean, well, I don't remember off the top of my head what our audience was for it, but it was definitely something that needed to be seen more, especially today, and especially just the life of protesters and the risk that they're putting going out onto the streets. Last year, when we showed that, it had a much as you said, Finn. This is really the context for it. This summer is much different. Last year, we're watching violent protests on film like that, and being something like, "Look at this other world." And now this summer, that world is here, and we are seeing people that need that. Like proper protest care techniques where they show you like how to mix a solution to put in your eyes when you get the pepper sprayed or whatever they use, not mustard gas, but tear gas. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah but there's another film that I actually haven't had the chance to watch yet, but I really want to, which is the Denise Ho Becoming the Song documentary mm-hmm. that we have. Especially with everything going on in Hong Kong right now, and just I know of her, but I'm not of like her music, but not right. I'm not well versed at all. So definitely something that I feel like is very on point right now for mm-hmm. just having a better understanding of what is happening. And it's almost like, I feel like this year especially, we're at a position where it's so much harder for people to really ignore what's going on in the world,
yeah.
Which I'm so thankful for. But yeah, there's just so much to learn and be aware of right now. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we can get these films in front of folks.
Yeah, we could go on it, like, just title by title, we could just keep talking oh, yeah. about this. But we'll yeah, it's like there's a lot of, I mean, I know that we're all fans of We Are Little Zombies.
Oh yeah.
which is like this, that's a film, another film that I'm glad that we brought in as a title that I saw at Sundance 2019. And then I think you were looking at for Cinetopia as well, right?
Yeah, Sarah? I had it confirmed for this year, but it was one that like, it was, I think you and Mackenzie made a good effort to try to get it to yeah. Cinetopias ago, right? And
yeah.
they just didn't have a US distributor all set up. But now right. it was like, finally we were able to be able to do it. So I'm really glad that it's coming out, or it's already out. It's been out like 2 weeks, I
yeah.
think.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a tough film to sell. I don't really know what our numbers are looking like for it right now, but it's very quirky and dark. To me, it's like Wes Anderson meets Edgar Wright. Because it has like these like precocious children as like Wes Anderson does, but it's very Scott Pilgrim-esque with its 8-bit soundtrack and its love for video games.
I think you just found our way to push it.
Yeah. and then like another like really great title of mine that I like is Picture of His Life.
Yeah.
It's about a photographer that's trying to take photos of polar bears underwater. It's like this really great nature documentary, like a great escape of quarantine.
Yeah, also a Cinetopia title. But on to that note, I'm really glad you brought that up, because it's part of this Summer of Film series that we're doing with the Ann Arbor Jewish Film Festival, since we weren't mm-hmm. able to have them during Cinetopia this year. And mm-hmm. it's a really cool collection of 12 films, not all of them are out yet, that are going to play through the end of August. But it's like a nice collection of documentaries and narratives about kind of the Jewish voice from Jewish filmmakers, and some just focusing on Jewish subjects. And it has like a nice range of like storylines, from the lives of trans kids in Israel to the documentary you talked about for the photographer, to learning about what it means to be a cantor on the East Coast, and then like a funny little comedy love story mm-hmm. and a historical piece with Sigmund Freud. Like, it just has a nice mm-hmm. mix. It's not all very serious, and there's some lighthearted stuff. So definitely something to check out through yeah, the end definitely. Of August.
I was telling Sarah that Picture of His Life is definitely on my list to watch, just because of all of my experimentation with filming this summer, you know, with everything that I've been helping with you guys with the programming, marketing type stuff. Mm-hmm. Getting out there with my GoPro and going underwater and actually filming turtles and things like that has been really cool. And I, like, when Sarah showed me that trailer, I was like, okay, I gotta watch this movie. The greatest underwater photographer of all time.
Amazing.
It's like written right there, you know.
Yeah, Jared, you bringing that up kind of like leads me into like, I wanted to talk about silver linings of quarantine in our virtual movie palace, and like our favorite moments that we've had in the past 4 months. And one of mine is getting the chance to see your film. Wow. Just because that was something Thanks. That, I mean, if we weren't in quarantine, would our theater be the space for you to just be like, hey guys, I made a film, and us being yeah, let's play it. That's just something truly original that we are able to do.
Yeah. Thanks. That's really nice of you to say. I appreciate that. And I agree that I don't know that it would have been, you know, cause yeah. I would have been just being the technical director, you know, and I would have had to help put on the Not Just for Kids show series and help load in all the rock shows and, you know, help the projectionist if they needed it with films for the theaters. So yeah, I don't know that it would have been, you know, the last thing I did for the theater creatively was the Metropolis show, and that was what, 3 years ago now or something, you know,
so 3 or 4 years, I think it might have been four years ago.
Yeah, 4 years ago. Wow. And it's like, you know, so it's just been, we've been so busy before the quarantine hit. I mean, it's just been nonstop go, go, go with the theaters, I feel like, you know, so this time to like pause and reflect that everybody's been doing has allowed me to get back into being creative again. There's something that I don't want to tell too much, but I've definitely been getting back into my drawing and my art again, which is something that I've been doing for as long as I've been making music. I've been drawing before, even before that. Like I was, I always wanted to be a an animator, and I didn't necessarily want to be a filmmaker, but I always wanted to be an animator as a kid. And let's just say that maybe possibly I am doing that right now. So.
Yeah, yeah. I can't wait to unveil your creation.
I know. Yeah,
because I think in our last podcast, Jared, I think that you even brought that up, that you were looking to animate.
This
has been foreshadowing the past couple episodes. What we have for people.
That's so funny. That's right.
Yeah, what I mean, we've had some like really great Q&A's and other things that have come into that this virtual landscape has allowed us to do. What are some of your favorite moments from you all?
I mean, I definitely still think about our picture a scientist Q&A, even though it was like a nice intimate conversation with Nick and I and the director and one of the subjects. It was just like really great to realize that you can still connect in such a fun, genuine way, even though we're sitting thousands of miles apart from each other at times. So that was really cool. And you know what? I actually do miss the Saturday night watch parties.
Yeah, those were fun.
Those were fun. I feel like, yeah, if we reached a point and could build a good audience for it and demand for it, I could see bringing those back from time to time. But it was fun to just kind of go back to just sitting and watching a movie and then just calling out the parts that were just like funny or made you think of another film or just the silliness of it was great.
Yeah,
Nick, do you think that when you changed the format, it kind of changed like the energy at all of the watch parties?
You mean when I switched to the Amazon Prime?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It was, okay. Yeah.
So if you went back, go ahead. Sorry.
I think that, when I switched to the Amazon Prime, there was still the chat, but I was glad that we were able to watch it all together in real time, but it definitely did change the energy. I think that when switching it to the Amazon Prime watch party, I think that maybe just some people that have Netflix and Hulu, maybe they don't have Amazon Prime. So I think it just created an unnecessary barrier.
It's still kind of clunky though, how we're doing it with Zoom or in Twitch and stuff. It's still kind of clunky when we can't guarantee that we're on the same speed with folks.
Yeah.
But I feel like I could see it becoming a really cool thing to do back in the theaters. I think,
definitely.
You know, like kind of set up a space where people can come and watch a movie and kind of remove some of those rules and barriers that are usually on, you know, where it's like no talking, you know, all of that. But like engage in that. I think especially for some of the like fun classic or like B-type movies that really do bring up that type. That's why, like, we have the Lake Michigan Monster, which I don't have much to say about it yet. But what's so exciting about it for the one-day screening that we're going to be doing later is that they are encouraging you that it's a movie that you're going to want to watch with friends and, like, scream at the TV about.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. We just watched the trailer, like, a couple, like, you know, like a half hour ago or something like that. And I loved it. It was, like, it looks like it should be from the 50s or something.
Yeah.
You could tell, you know, and it's just like, I feel like for myself right now that I'm also looking back in time, being nostalgic to film and trying to recreate stuff that was already like styles that were already done or a look or something like that of the 80s. Like, you guys know that, like, when I make content, I love to, like, kind of, like, get that 80s VHS look or something like that, you know? Like, I when watching that trailer for that film, I was super excited to watch it.
So, yeah.
Maybe we should watch Party It All together.
It feels
as a
like
staff.
It could become like a midnight favorite.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see that one too. As you said, the trailer is so good for that movie.
Yeah.
Because as I was watching it, it's so well done to look old. I couldn't tell if it was an old movie that they've remastered or if it is something, you know, new that was intentionally made to look that way. Kind of reminded me of The Lighthouse in a way.
It like if The Lighthouse meets The Room.
Yeah. I don't know how they feel about that marketing, but I think that right, that's right. It's enjoyably accurate.
I guess that's just a first impression. Like, I love The Room in that aspect. You know, like it has that like really raw, like, I don't know, really raw look to it, and that's a good quality. That's a good quality in my mind.
Finn, you kind of joined the party a little bit halfway into quarantine, but what are some of your favorite moments that we've had so far?
So I would mention the Nevertheless Film Festival, because that's something that I watched almost all the shorts anyway, and a couple of the movies, and it was a really nice experience to be part of a film festival, which from my couch is a little bit of I was kind of unsure about it, but the way they set it up was really nice. Like, it was really slick and easy. You could just hit play and you can watch all these short movies in a row, and they were really, really high quality content and just style, everything. They were sort of very thoughtfully curated. And I know you spoke with Meredith. I spoke with her as well for an interview, and she clearly has a very strong vision about what she wants the festival to be. And the fact that we couldn't have it at the Michigan was, you know, a bummer, but she pivoted really fast and really, I think, very, very well to making this virtual film festival feel inclusive and feel like a festival, you know, with the Q&As and everything. So that's the thing that I sort of remember the most.
Definitely. I'm glad you brought that up. I wouldn't say hesitant or skeptical, but I was unsure of what it was going to be like. But no, I agree. I almost wish after that weekend, I wished that I could have a virtual film festival every weekend because I felt like I was at a festival again, you know, cause they have you could watch the films at any time, but they also had the Q&A scheduled. So you're kind of like, you had that block schedule. You had to be like, okay, if I'm going to make this Q&A, I need to start this film at this time right now. And then once that's done, I have like 10 minutes to eat something or get up and move around, and then I have to start the next film. It just felt like I got that rush again, like I'm running from screening to screening, like I'm at Sundance or True False or something like that.
Without getting sweaty.
Yeah, without getting sweaty or cold or getting sick.
Just getting clawed by your cat at home.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that is one that's also like I've tuned into a few different virtual festivals from the beginning onward, and they're definitely getting better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to some degree, we don't necessarily know when this is going to end, hopefully sooner rather than later, but it's nice to know that we're kind of like getting all these kinks out of the system to kind of figure out how we could make a really thoughtful virtual program.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like it's uplifting on that.
Well, I mean,
I was very impressed.
Right when quarantine started, I thought the Ann Arbor Film Festival did a great job of pulling that off. You
oh,
know?
Like very fast and quickly.
And
tight turnaround.
I mean, like within like a week or less, it felt like that they did all that. You know,
And brought in a lot of people from around the world.
Yeah,
which was great.
And you could see all the people in the chat on the side talking about the film, which gave it like a different feel for a film festival, because normally you're sitting in a room when you're at a film festival and you got to be quiet because you got to be super respectful of the filmmaker who's probably there in the room and everybody else that wants to sit there. But it was a nice dynamic, I thought, that you could be on the side there and be like, wow, did you guys see that? That was so cool. Mm-hmm. And people would text back. And then some people would like jokingly be like, shh, be quiet, I'm watching the movie. But obviously they could just close the window if they didn't want to see the chat. But I think the chat brought another element to film, watching films that you haven't seen before mm-hmm. with groups of people and getting to be like, whoa, you know, like, because everybody watches films differently. Like, you know, I don't know for you guys, but for the longest time, for me being a musician, I would look at films and mostly listen to the sound, listen to the music, and not necessarily pay attention to as much to the dialogue or the storyline, and just be like, this is what I loved about this film. Like Baby Driver, you know what I mean? Like, it's a perfect example of a film that you can watch and be like, I love that movie for the soundtrack. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting to see all this happen, and to see, I mean, we're going to take so much of what we learned from this time and still be able, like, what's happening now, we're not just going to forget about it once the theaters reopened, but it's like, there's so many silver linings that are happening right now, and that, you know, when we do get back to the theater, we know that, you know, if there's a director that wants to talk to us and we're not able to fly them in, how easy it is to have Zoom conversations with people now, and that knowing that people will engage with that type of thing. That's something I'm very excited about, you know, kind of where we're heading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even on that note, it's just that, like you said, that we're not going to forget these things. Like, we don't know when this is going to end.
Yeah.
You know, so we constantly are all brainstorming together about new and creative ways to help keep the theater relevant in the community and, you know, now on the interweb.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and we know that if Jared ever wants to make a movie, that that people will come out to see it. And then there are things like cocktail cinema that we realize that we're able to experiment with these type of movie clubs that were
I'm telling you, drunk history.
I like the
drunk film reviews.
The cocktail cinema gets a good draw, you know, and it's like people that you guys curated the like going over the decades, right? Mm-hmm. Like you did it by decade. And it was fun. I like mm-hmm. every time we participated, I had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. We're already like, I was having a meeting with some of our other colleagues this week, and we were already talking about how if this is the same, if we're still in the same scenario come Christmas time, like what a cool thing to do with our lobby decorated, the Michigan lobby, at least not at the state, but that all decorated with Christmas and having a kind of like Christmas series of cocktail cinema.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool. I like that.
We'll make Russ dress up as Santa Claus and Deb can wear the Mrs. Claus outfit that we use during White Christmas, you know, and like have eggnog and talk about some really great Christmas classic films.
Or some... So, yeah, mix up the eggnog, some different Christmas recipes.
Yeah, totally.
But that's definitely something that, again, when we reopen our doors, we are thinking about cocktail cinema live. Again, whenever we reopen our doors every day, it's kind of harder to tell that. But and the different movie clubs, and it's exciting to see. To think about all the different possibilities that we have to engage with our audience when we can see each other in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just Jared's.
Sorry, that big sigh.
We're all feeling it.
It will happen again. Yeah. That's like the nice thing to
It's just
to
a matter of when.
Remembering. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It will happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, even when we do open, we've all understood that the virtual stuff will still be there for people that are not necessarily ready to go back to the theater. We want people to come back when they're ready, right? Like, mm-hmm. we don't want people to feel... Yeah,
and it also just lets us... I mean, we also can't... We have 7 screens, which makes us luckier than a lot of other art house theaters, but we still can't play everything that we want to play. So virtual will allow us to do that, which is...
Yeah,
which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, some of the conversations Patty Havey and I have been having with potential clients is looking at doing more like streaming things potentially from the theater, like say know, the Ann Arbor Symphony Orchestra wanted to like have a concert, but they normally fill up the theater for their concerts, and maybe people aren't feeling safe. Maybe we do like a streaming thing where people can pay for that and watch and see the concert live over the internet, you know. So thinking outside the box and thinking differently is the name of the game at the Michigan Theater these days. I'm sure everywhere in the world.
Well, that's good.
The world.
And then of course, you know, something else that another silver lining was that we were able to bring Finn on. Well, Finn was no stranger. He's worked for Cinetopia, as he's already mentioned, but now we've got Finn on. He's helping us with some writing and the State Theater social media. It's good to have you, Finn.
It's good to be here. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, for those listening out there that aren't getting our weekly emails, this is a good time to sign up for them. We have a lot of really cool, interesting content that we're sharing with them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So as we always close out these episodes, we're going to get into our movie magic moments of the week. And this is a moment where we talk about something that we've seen recently, whether it's on TV or film, that, as we say, reminded us why we love movies. This is just a moment where we can give something to you to recommend while you're sitting at home in quarantine that you can find. How about Finn? Why don't you get us started? Do you have something to share with us?
I have not seen as much as I would have liked. Just due to everything. But recently, we got CBS All Access just for the specific reason we wanted to watch the Picard Star Trek special. However, CBS All Access it's a very strange streaming service because it has a ton of like really random old stuff. That like you would never watch normally, like
90210.
Like MacGyver, like all this kind of stuff. But the thing we started watching, I don't know why, was this show called Under the Dome, which is it's literally the Simpsons movie but a TV show where they get trapped under the dome, and it has and it stars Dean Norris for some reason, the Breaking Bad brother-in-law. Anyway, this is not necessarily a recommendation, but the first season is charmingly bizarre, and like it's a Stephen King book, it's based off of, and it's very very silly, but highly enjoyable. But then it just goes off a cliff, and it just turns terrible. So it's one of these shows where you get really into it, and you're like, this is cheesy and rubbish and fun, and then it just becomes dire. So that's what I've been watching. I don't know why I'm still watching it, but yeah, that's my. It's not a magic moment at all, but there you go.
I almost got that because I know the Twilight Zone, the new Twilight Zone, is on CBS All Access, and I've been really interested in seeing that.
I think we watched one episode of that, and it's pretty good. You know.
Okay.
It's all right. Twilight Zone, but it's like better quality.
Yeah, fair. Sarah and or Jared?
I love how, for those who don't know,
Jared and Sarah,
we are an engaged couple, so I love how you blended our names.
Yeah.
Okay, I stumbled upon, and I can't even remember how I was directed to it, but The Vast of Night on Amazon. I don't know if anyone else has watched this. It's
I've seen advertisements for it, yeah.
It's another film that is a new film, but they try to make it like it's a 1950s type film.
Yeah,
it's and cool. It's all based on this one night, and there's aliens in it, and there's kind of this whole conspiracy type setup. But it was it kind of has a slow start. I almost want to think that it was like filmed with like
an iPhone maybe or something.
Yeah, the like filming kind of the actual filming
it's
itself
it's
is really cool.
It's cool.
So definitely worth checking out. I thought that. I really liked that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said that like the budget wasn't even super
high. Yeah, they had like a really low budget on it. It's definitely a film that is more of the suspense thriller where you have to think a little bit more. It doesn't it doesn't necessarily give you the closure, but it builds it up in a nice way that you're like, oh, that's crazy. So
yeah,
I really I feel like that was a really good thing to stumble upon recently. I've also I am marathoning my way through 90210.
She's
also signed up for CBS All Access, yeah. Basically to marathon that, and also wanting to check out the Twilight Zone show. But so that has just been kind of a fun return to my childhood and memories of watching that. And then just, it's always really funny to laugh at 90s TV shows and the things we thought were cool.
Yeah.
As this Zoom is going on, the Lake Michigan Monster film finally downloaded for us to upload to the internet.
Nice.
So I had to download something for the internet to upload it back to the internet. Don't you love that? Yeah, so for me, I think that... Sorry, I'm going to get closer to the mic. So I think for me, what's been really cool, it's a bit kind of like... it's two parts to this, I guess. But is really like perusing the archive and public domain stuff that I've been doing since this has started, right? Like I helped with the Oregon concerts and that's kind of where it all began. So I was looking, we were all searching for free versions of silent film movies that we could use to edit, that I could edit together, you know? And so I really enjoy getting to watch The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari and have never seen that film before, watching it to Andy's soundtrack, which is still available for people to watch online, is awesome. And like there's some like modes that he uses that for the characters that are like give you goosebumps. It's so creepy, you know, like because the film in itself is a really bizarre German expressionist film, right? Is that right, Nick?
Yeah,
German expressionist film, which was a fun era of films, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, that Nosferatu is another really great example of that. Yeah,
did Metropolis fit in there too? That's a German expressionist film, right?
Yeah.
All movies that we love and people know, you know. But I think that like people know Dr. Caligari, but don't necessarily didn't necessarily see it, you know. And like, so I highly recommend watching that one on our.
Mm-hmm. A very spooky, very spooky film. And I believe it's, I had it on my whiteboard in the office. It's celebrating its 100th anniversary this year.
Sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I guess, so the other part of that was that, so recently I perused the archive.org site and found a bunch of old drive-in movie trailers and intermission stuff. And it is so much fun to watch that stuff just to see how people made things like that for their movie drive-ins and stuff like that is just so cool to me to, you know, just for being creative, you know, like what the, like if you're limited in what you have, how can you be creative? Like, you know, with like whatever you have in front of you, you know, like I talk about like, having an iPhone and now having some, adapters for it that allow me to like set it up on a tripod and then do still shots and recording and things like that, you know. So I definitely recommend folks watch, go on archive.org and just peruse that. You will get lost. It's a rabbit hole.
Absolutely.
It is a total rabbit hole.
I'm actually
make a movie and send it to us.
Right,
please make a movie and send it to us.
One of my movie magic moment, I mean, we've mentioned a bunch of them already. The Nevertheless Film Festival a few weeks ago was something I was going to talk about. We already kind of mentioned that. Some other honorable mentions, the film Palm Springs on Hulu is very good.
I
suggest people check that out. It's kind of a funny take on the groundhog it's like a funny take on the Groundhog Day. I can't believe that Groundhog Day is a genre now.
I know.
And then I watched Hasan Minhaj's special on Netflix, Hasan Minhaj Homecoming King, which is like this, it's really funny, and it's also a great example of storytelling. It's like it's more of like a one-man show than it is a stand-up special. I think it's a very sweet and funny show. But mine, I actually wrote a blog post about this, finished it yesterday. Mine was watching Shirley this week. I was rewatching Shirley this week. Yeah. I had seen it before. But it's just, to me, it was this breath of fresh air of quarantine, as we've seen things that are very good in quarantine, but this is the one movie that I can think of where you're watching it and thinking this has Oscar potential. Like we should be like, this is going to be talked about whenever the Oscars happen. It's just it, on all fronts, you know, like the from direction from Josephine Decker, she molded this film into this like surreal, I called it like the surreal gothic haze, and still manages to tell an accessible story. And then like screenwriter, the screenwriting, Sarah Gubbins, who made these characters into these abusive intellectual characters that have this like pompousness about them. This really, really creates this, it really sets the tone of the film. I'll just say there's really great one-liners in this film. I don't want to spoil any punchlines, yeah. But, they talk with like, she knows the worst thing. There's so many moments where a character hears the worst thing that they could hear, and it just bites, and you're like, ooh, that is like these like left punches that come out of nowhere. And then as I wrote my blog post, these performances by Elizabeth Moss and Michael Stuhlbarg and Odessa Young, who really hammer everything down. As I said, like they kind of like, they're like these lighthouses in the films that kind of guide you through the haze. That like this film really kind of walks this tightrope line of experimental and classic narrative. And it does, just, she just does it so well, where one step in either, if it goes like one step in either direction, the film either becomes, you know, like maybe too simple or too boring, or if it goes into the more into the experimental route, it just gets too out there and almost into like David Lynchian territory. And just, it follows that line so well. Her last film, Madeline's Madeline, it was a little bit more in the experimental category, and I think a lot of people just didn't like it. It was like too much for me. I don't know what's going on. This really it balances both those tones really well. So, and then like Odessa Young, her transformation of her character is so interesting to watch, and she has a very empathetic personality, and she kind of grounds the film home. So yeah, Shirley, still I think you have until the end of the month to watch it.
Yeah, it closes on the 31st. I definitely, like, I saw this at Sundance, and then I watched it again when we first kind of put it out. But definitely reading your blog post made me want to watch it again this weekend for sure. Like, yeah. It is a really good film, and one that you would want to watch multiple times.
Absolutely.
And I will say, you reminded me, something else that I really liked from last week was realizing, so last week we rolled out our narrative and documentary pages to help folks browse through the virtual offerings that we have. And it made me realize how many women-focused films that we are playing right now.
Definitely.
Either filmmakers or as the subject matter. And it was just, I thought that that's very cool, because that's not what it was commonly the trend in the past. And I also think that it's just awesome that these are also the films that are available that, you know, that distributors are putting out, and then that we're playing, because they're films that come to us and we're like, yeah, this is awesome. We want to make sure our community sees these films.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, something I was really excited about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, check out mishtheater.org/screenings to see everything that we're still playing. And we just reorganized everything. To me, I've said it looks like now that you go onto our page, it used to be just like, I mean, it wasn't a mess, but it was just a lot. There's just a lot of content. It was like kind of overwhelming, but now we have it organized. To me, it reminds me of like when you go on Netflix and you see the categories. So I think it makes it really easy to check out or to investigate. So check it out if you haven't already, if you don't already do that on a weekly basis. Also, check out the Michigan and State Theater social media pages. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's where you'll see everything that me and Finn have to talk about. The State Theater A2 is the Twitter handle. And then that's how else you'll also find us on Instagram. Thank you to the Ann Arbor District Library. They're the one who puts this podcast out on iTunes. So subscribe on Apple iTunes if you don't already do that. And then, of course, Curbside Concessions. That's the last thing I have to plug on. Tuesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Place your orders by 3 p.m. to pick up your Michigan Theater treats and merch between 5 and 7 p.m. Who doesn't want movie theater popcorn right now? I mean, I had popcorn again about a week ago, a couple weeks ago maybe, the first time I've had popcorn since we closed our doors, and boy, was it delicious. It was such a nice treat.
And you can even buy it to make it at home.
Absolutely, that's right, I forgot we were doing
that. From the Michigan Theater. I think they just rolled it out this week.
You're right. So thank you all, Finn, Jared, Sarah, thank you all for joining us. We had a lot to talk about this episode. I'm glad we had a chance to sit down.
Yeah, super fun.
Lots of fun. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, man.
Absolutely. So we'll see you. We'll be back in your feed in a couple weeks. Thank you for joining us behind the marquee.
Suzy Q Curbside Concessions Deal. Available now. Purchase a large combo from our curbside concessions menu and receive a voucher for $2 off your rental of Suzy Q, a documentary about Detroit's own Suzy Quattro. For more information and to order, visit michigantheater.org/curbside.
So cheesy.
I love it.